grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you consider yourself to be a good singer? Do you consider yourself to be athletic? Do you consider yourself to be a good cook? To consider yourself one of these three things or many other things is how you view yourself. It's your perception of yourself. Now, others may have a difference of opinion, and maybe they think a little differently than you about whether you're a good singer or athlete or cook. But it's your perception. It's how you view yourself. And how you view yourself, how you perceive yourself, impacts your life. It might impact what you do, how you do so, or even when you might do so. For example, if you consider yourself to be a good singer, you have no qualms singing loud anytime you want for anybody to hear. Or if you consider yourself to be athletic, you're eager to jump in with a pickup game with some friends or maybe even just some people you met. Or if you consider yourself to be a good cook, you not only enjoy, but you look forward to having people over so you can share your gift with them, so you can cook for them. Well, today as we look at God's word for us from Romans chapter 6, we focus especially on verse 11 in which God says to each and every one of us, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Now, I know you hear us preachers say this often, but our English understanding of this word "consider" doesn't quite fully fit what God is truly trying to convey here. Our understanding of this word "consider" doesn't do justice for the fullness that God is conveying to us. You see, our perception of reality is that to consider is something that we ought to do, that it's on our part. That how we view ourselves is something that we do. But to be quite frank, that's just the wrong perspective. Because that's our perspective instead of God's. It's focused on us instead of focused on God. As much as we may use this word "consider" to indicate something that we do, as it's used here in Romans chapter 6, it's really all about what God has done. So for us today in Romans chapter 6, to consider ourselves dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus, is simply to be what God has made us to be. Be who God has made you to be. Now, to be exceedingly clear, maybe a little bit too clear for some people's liking, Jesus is the one who was crucified, died, and risen. Jesus was the one who lived hundreds of years earlier from today, and he was the one who was crucified and suffered on that cross. It was his body that hung there as he breathed his last. And it was his body that was then taken down from the cross and gently laid in a tomb. And he was the one that then rose 3 days later, appearing to Mary and the disciples and to so many more. It might seem to be such a simple truth, but it's an ever-important simple truth. Jesus Christ is the one who was crucified, died, and risen. It wasn't us. I certainly wasn't the one who hung on the cross. You weren't the ones who laid there in a tomb. Most obviously, because here you are sitting before me and I standing before you. And yet, we have participated in his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. Now, I know that participation language makes us Lutherans a little bit uncomfortable, but that's exactly the language that God uses in his word today. Romans chapter 6, it says that we were buried, therefore, with him. We have been united with him in a death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We were crucified with him. We have died with Christ and live with him. Because in Jesus Christ, there's a great exchange. He transferred to himself all of our sin, the sin of the entire world, and put to death what none of us could ever put to death. And instead, he transferred to us life. Transferred to us life that we could never earn or ever attain on our own. And yes, it seems difficult at times to understand and truly to believe that sin has been put to death. Because look at our bodies. There's still these fallen, broken bodies. Sin still certainly exists today. And at times, sin has far more prevalence in our lives than we would ever like it to have. But it has been put to death, and you have been given life. Because as it says in our reading today, we are no longer enslaved to sin. We've been set free, liberated to live the life that Christ has given us. It goes on in Romans 6, verse 14 to say that death and sin no longer has dominion over us. Dominion, to have authority. To rule over, to have control, to lord over something. No longer does sin do any of those things. Sin no longer has authority, nor control, nor rule, nor lordship over us. Because we've been set free. And this has been given to you in your baptism. Credited to you personally in your baptism. That in baptism, Jesus Christ put to death sin and gave you life instead. That when that pastor poured that water over your head and spoke the very word of God, he credited to you the life-changing work of Christ's death and resurrection. Personally and individually credited to you what God has done for you. And this is why we put so much emphasis on baptism, why we speak of it so much and celebrate it so much. Even today, just shortly, we're going to stand here together and we're going to speak together what we confess to believe, what baptism is, what benefits it gives, how water can do such great things, and what baptism indicates. It's also why we should cherish and remember our baptismal date and maybe even put that baptismal certificate up in our homes or somewhere where we can see it regularly. And take that baptismal candle that we've been given and light it regularly and often. And yes, I realize that as I say these words, it might be difficult to hear if you're not yet baptized. Or if you're thinking of a loved one or a friend who's not yet baptized. But I've said in other sermons, and I'll say it again today and probably many other times to come, God desires to give all these gifts to all people. In our reading today, it says that the death Christ died, he died to sin once for all. Now, specifically, this reference, once for all, really refers to the fact that his sacrifice was sufficient one time for all people. But that also implies the fact that his all-sufficient sacrifice was given for all people. And so today, to you, the baptized believers in Jesus Christ, consider this. This is what you're to consider. It's not just a perception. It's not just a thought. It's a reality. You are dead to sin, and you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. Would you say it with me? I know we don't do that often. It makes us a little bit uncomfortable at times, but it's so important. Say it with me. I am dead to sin.
I am dead to sin.
I am alive to God in Christ Jesus. Again, I know we don't do that often. But that should be our refrain. That should be truly coming out of our hearts and our mouths often and confidently. Because it's who God has made us to be. And as his baptized believers, we therefore get to walk in newness of life. A newness of life that'll come someday. When that eternal final day comes, that eschatological fulfillment in which God will bring all believers together with him forever into a newness of life that will last in his perfect eternity, in which death and sin will then finally, irreversibly be put to death forever. But that day hasn't come yet, not yet at least. But already now, we do walk in newness of life. And that now is really what Paul is referring to in Romans chapter 6. That now, here and now today, in these days that we've been given here on this earth, walk in newness of life. Conduct yourself as one renewed and restored. Walk the walk. Take seriously the immensity of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Consider the depth of what Christ has given to you in your baptism, which does mean that there is a daily moral aspect to this, of remembering our baptism, of daily, hourly, putting to death the sin in our lives by mortifying the things of the flesh, the sinful things in this world, and then rising to newness of life in obedience to God, that ongoing death and resurrection. But if there's one thing I can make clear to us today from God's word, it's that it's not about what we do, but all about what God has done. That in your baptism, God has given you an identity. You're not just a fallen, broken person. You are not less than. You are not insufficient. You are not of this world. You are cherished. You are valuable. You're a child of God. You are baptized into his name. And with that as your identity, you have hope. Hope, especially in this world, as we've been reminded more than ever this past week, in which we need hope. Hope that doesn't rest in one person, nor one group of people, nor anyone, nor anything in this world, but in something, someone much greater, in Christ alone. And I can't think of any better way to sum up what God's word says than the hymn we've already sung once just before this sermon. God's own child, I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ. Sin disturbed my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ. I am baptized into Christ. I'm a child of paradise. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.